So we need to be careful what we say and what we do, because we don't know who's listening, but we hope that they'll be blessed by the Holy Spirit. Another thing is that you all received, the members have all received, either through V-mail or mail, a copy of the nominating committee that's being proposed. And the second reading is taking place, and please send in your vote. Send in your vote today, tomorrow, or Monday by calling the church office, calling Colleen, or just texting or emailing the church so we know that the nominating committee can move forward. Also, Monday evening, 6 o'clock elders meeting, and 7 o'clock board meeting. And you'll be contacted on each of those meetings individually. Well, today we have a special speaker. Brother Euridius is going to speak to us, and he's got a great sermon title, Jesus, Our Only Hope. And he is. He's our only hope. And I just pray that God will bless him as he moves forward. I want to read just one small portion of his scripture found in Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 through 12. I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne stood a lamb as though it was slain. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much for Jesus. In this time of crisis, when we're all staying home and behaving ourselves, keeping social distances, Father, we know that your Spirit and that Jesus is right here with us in every home, in every individual. And so, Father, bless us. Keep us safe. And soon this will be over and we turn back to meeting together as a congregation. I pray a special blessing upon Euridius. Father, may you just touch his heart, touch his lips, use his tongue as he speaks. Not just what he has studied, not just what he has planned, but may he use words from on high. May your Spirit influence him and tune our ears into the message he has for us. Because truly we know and we believe Jesus is our only hope. We thank you, we praise you, and we wait your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church family, and happy Sabbath. It's so nice to be able to reach out to you through technology nowadays, but still feels good to be able to speak the Word of God. And I'm really happy to be here this morning and just sharing the Bible and the hope that we find in it. And I miss you all so much. I want you to know that, and I can't wait for all of these bands to go away so we can come back to our normal way of worshiping. But in the meantime, let us just get closer to Jesus. Let us get closer to the Lord with what we have. And we're so blessed that we have technology that we can use to connect with each other and that we can use to connect with God. It's just unbelievable what we can do with what we have now. So before we go into our sermon, let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Sabbath. We thank you for the blessing that is the chance of listening to your word. Please help us find hope in it. Help us focus on you and just find you through the verses that we're going to be seeing today. Thank you for your blessings and be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, our only hope. This past week and this weekend, the world is celebrating Easter. And so as the world celebrates, I have noticed that perhaps some people celebrate the wrong thing. And by that I mean, I was scrolling down through Facebook the other day and I saw someone who posted a picture of a dead Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Jesus' sacrifice is important. And we have to pay attention to it. And Easter is a good time where people remember that. But do we really celebrate that? In my case, what I like celebrating is Jesus' resurrection. Because in Jesus' resurrection is where I find hope. Not just celebrating his death, not just celebrating his body laid in there, and it's actually just creepy, but just thinking that he rose again and that he went up to heaven and that he will come again gives me hope. So I love celebrating Easter, not only because of chocolate or all of those activities they do, which I didn't grow up with. Us, what I grew up with was sweet beans, which is a dessert we do in the Dominican Republic. Is you boil the beans with cinnamon and cloves, and then you put some coconut milk and sugar, and it's like it becomes a delicious dessert. So I'm kind of like missing that right now, and flying some kites is something we do on Easter weekend. So there are some activities that I grew up doing that I miss, and so I definitely grew up loving Easter. Easter, it became even more special to me after celebrating Easter in the church and having communion Friday night. And sharing the grape and giving each other a grape and telling each other, I want to see you in heaven. That became something special for me. And so Easter, I love Easter. The most important thing about it, again, is that Easter, when I celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, I find hope. So what is this word? What is this word that we call hope? There's three things we're going to be seeing today during this sermon. And I have it in here on the slide. You can see it. Number one is hope in the Bible. Number two, Jesus as a representative of hope. And Jesus, how he has been hope throughout the human history. So those three things we're going to be seeing today during this sermon. But before we go into it, let's take a look at the word hope. What does this word mean? I went to the dictionary, and I found three definitions. Number one, hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So when you're desiring something, when you want something to happen, you have hope. So when you're expecting something, I imagine when a woman is pregnant and is going to have a baby and is expecting, is waiting, and is just wanting to have that baby in her hands, in her arms, and to hold it and to see him grow. Expectations. When you expect, when you desire something to happen, it's one of the meanings of this word. But another meaning of the word hope is a person or thing that may help or save someone. And so I was like, oh, that is interesting that the dictionary is saying that hope is not only like a feeling of expectation, but it's also a person. And I was like, yes. You know whose person is my hope? Jesus. My only hope. Our only hope. So amazing. So hope can be a feeling, hope can be a person. Or hope could be, the third definition I found was grounds for believing that something good may happen. So when you believe that something good may happen, when you believe that Jesus will come again, when you believe that Jesus rose and went to heaven, and then that he sent his Holy Spirit and he'll come back for you and for me, that hope that he will come back. Is hope. some synonyms for this word that I found: aspiration, desire, wish, expectation, ambition, aim, plan, dream, or daydream for some people, like daydreaming, right? Longing, when you long for something, yearning, craving, and hankering. So there's a lot of synonyms. There were more. I couldn't copy more, but I think that's enough. But when you desire Jesus, you hope for him. When you aim for Jesus, when you want Jesus in your life, you're hoping for him. When you long for Jesus, when you long for the Holy Spirit, that means hope. And Jesus is our only hope. So hope in the Bible, let's see hope in the Bible. If we go to 1 Peter, if you have your Bible, I didn't put the verse on the screen. It might not really work with the technology, but you can find it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. If you don't have your Bible, I highly encourage you to go get it, because I don't have the verses on the screen, and I want you to follow me through scriptures. We will have a lot of scripture today. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. So the first thing we're going to see is that the word hope in the Bible is directly linked or related to redemption. So we can notice. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Notice that Peter, what he's saying here is, you were not bad with worldly things. You were bad with the blood of Jesus Christ. And this blood of Jesus Christ, as Peter is talking in here, means that the redemption, when Jesus died for you and for me, that's the price who bought us. And when we believe this, that Jesus bought our salvation with his blood, then we can see in verse 21 that says, "Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in who? In God." Our hope is in Jesus. Jesus, our only hope. So I want you to notice that verse 21 in there says that, so that your faith and your hope, it puts faith before hope. Hope and faith are linked. And so we're going to go to our next verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. This very popular verse that we very often use when we're speaking about love. And we so often speak on love, and we say, the verse says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Is love." And it's okay, when we see on the Bible, love, God, the Bible says, John says that God is what? God is love. So when we're talking about love, God becomes love, it becomes love. But then on this verse, we have the word hope and the word faith linked to it, that we also had those two words, faith and hope, Peter. So you can see how Paul in here on Corinthians add love to the end, because God, the greatest love. So when we have God, we have love and we have faith. Now let's say it backward. When we have faith, faith in Jesus gives us hope, hope in his resurrection because of the story of redemption, and ultimately love for God. But hope is in the middle of it. There's faith, there's love, there's hope. I was looking on the Bible dictionary, and it says that here in 1 Corinthians, it's talking about those three things, but those three things are the main elements of Christian character. A Christian needs to have faith in Jesus. A Christian needs to have hope in the resurrection of Jesus and in the second coming. And a Christian must love, because that's the greatest commandment that Jesus gave us. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love God above everything. The character, the Christian character. And this, it says, it is joined to faith and love. Hope in here, it is joined to faith and love, and is opposed to seeing or possessing. Sometimes we, if we go back to the definition, hope can be a person, but hope can also be a feeling, but hope can be a thing. Like sometimes, what is our hope? Where do we put our hope? Do we put our hope in someone who's not reliable, someone who can fail, because we're all human and we fail? And so when we put our trust and we put our hope in material things that can go away, then we have nothing. But in here, hope is linked to faith, where you have to believe without seeing. You have to believe without having anything. So there's no possessions in hope. You just need to want to desire Jesus. That is hope. And you have to believe in him through faith. And you have to love him. So we can see how these three are linked. Hope is an essential and fundamental element of Christian life. So essential indeed that, like faith and love, it can itself designate the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity. When Jesus was going up to heaven, the disciples were looking up. And for a moment, when Jesus died, they lost hope. But when Jesus was going up, then they had hope. And Jesus told them, I will come again. So the essence of our Christianity, our Christian life, is the hope on Jesus Christ. How is hope directly linked to redemption? If we also go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, let us read that. If you have your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have what? No hope. Hope in what? Let's keep reading. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we're falling into Easter, the story of redemption, when Jesus died and when Jesus was on the tomb and when Jesus rose again. That is our hope. That is why Jesus is our only hope. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will what? Will rise again. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, conform one another with these words. So we can see that Paul is saying, I don't want you to be crying. In the midst of all of these problems, in the midst of all of this chaos in the world right now, I don't want you to be sad. Because I don't want you to be like those people out there who have no hope. But you should believe that Jesus died and rose again, and that his resurrection brings joy. His resurrection brings happiness. His resurrection brings hope. And that is why I love celebrating during Easter weekend the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death, important. His blood is what cleanses us from our sins. But if Jesus didn't rise again, we'll be lost. So I really, really love meditating in the fact that Jesus rose again. So number one is a hope in the Bible. It's linked to redemption. It's all together, number one. See point number two. Jesus represents hope. Now let's take a closer look to what I believe Colleen sent out an email with our scripture for today, which is Revelation chapter 5, verses 1, 6 through 12. But for the sermon, I'm going to be reading since verse 1 all the way through 12. So if you can go with me. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And let's see what happens in here. Why is Jesus the one person from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one person who represents hope in this as Christians, for us as Christians? Let's say chapter 5, verse 1 says, "And I," this is John who's talking, "I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals." The perfect number of God, seven seals. Remember how Revelation is full of symbols, and they have deep meaning. I love Revelations. I just don't like preaching a lot from Revelations because it can get a little bit confusing sometimes. And I don't like, you know, going into get some people confused. But I definitely love studying Revelation, and it's one of my favorite books. So I love all these symbols. And it says there's seven seals. And then, verse 2 says, "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to even look at it. So I wept much." And I want to take a pause in there. John was weeping. He was crying. He's seen this scroll that needs to be opened, and so he's wondering, who is worthy to open this scroll? Who can come and at least look at it? Because no one in heaven on earth, it says the verse, was able to do that. And John was concerned, and John was crying, and he lost his hope. John didn't have hope in that moment. Verse 4 keeps saying, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or take a look at it. Perhaps he had forgotten where his hope was. Why did John forget his hope in that moment? Why did he cry so much? Because no one could open the scroll. Saying, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not cry. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" And I say, amen. When John was crying without hope, when John thought that no one could come and save him, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, came. Jesus, the one who represents hope for you and for me, came to open that scroll. And then they go into worshiping God, and says, "And I look, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. So Jesus, the lame who was slain, he came, he appeared, and then he came and took the scroll because he was the only one worthy of touching it and opening it. Jesus is the only one who gives us hope. Jesus is the one who represents that plan of salvation that was made even before creation, before God said, let us create man. And if something goes wrong after the test, then we are going to save him. Who's going to save man? Jesus, our only hope. Jesus, the one who represents, and not who only represents, the one who is our hope. Verse 8 keeps saying, now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Again, we fall into the history of redemption. And I say, praise the Lord. You have redeemed us with your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I say, amen. How beautiful. And we can see in this part in Revelation where John was okay. He thought he was okay. Then he realized he was lost and that he needed hope. So he was crying and Jesus came. And as soon as he saw Jesus, hope came. And not only hope, Jesus who represents hope came, he actually did. He opened the scroll. And that is exactly what happens in our lives. We may be okay. And then the pandemic comes. And then we are in quarantine. And we're losing our minds because we cannot go out and we don't have our normal routine. And so many people who would normally struggle with depression and all types of things, now being confined to its house and not being able to do anything, it might be even a worse struggle. And so people cry. And I believe this is the moment when the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, comes and walks into your life. This is the moment to recognize that Jesus is our only hope and that he is the one who represents hope and who is hope and the one who can open the scroll and solve all of our problems so we don't cry no more, just like John did. Jesus. If we go to, I love celebrating Easter. I already said this at the beginning. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. Luke is by far my favorite gospel. I don't know if that's your opinion. You might have a different one. I like all of them. But Luke, I love how Luke presents everything and the order he puts it and the wording. And it's just beautiful how he puts it. So Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7, we can find how the disciples and Mary, they find out that Jesus rose. That one time that we are the first Easter, when Jesus, that Sunday morning when they went to the tomb and it was empty. So let us read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. Says, "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus." Amen. I'm happy they didn't, because that means something. Verse 4 says, "And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen.'" Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesus is risen. He is risen. And we see how the angels proclaim in here, don't seek him in here. He is alive. Why are you looking for God? Why are you looking for Jesus where you shouldn't be looking for? And that's the question for us right now. Are we looking for Jesus or for God where we shouldn't be looking for? He is alive. And with his resurrection, he brings hope. He represents hope according to the Bible. So the angel saying, "He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and buried, and then at the third day, he will rise again." So when Jesus died, for most of the disciples, their hope was gone. Took him to the tomb, put the stone. But then we see how at the third day in the morning, something wonderful happened. The stone was rolled away. And God called his son, "Rise and come up to life again, because you have defeated death." And death is the greatest enemy. I mean, Satan, that sin, all the results of sin, death, all of them have been defeated by Jesus Christ. So I'll refer back to Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. Our hope, we shouldn't be crying. We shouldn't be crying as if we don't have hope. We shouldn't be looking for God or for things where God can't be found. But in prayer, in deep study of the Bible, in witnessing to each other, encouraging each other, in helping each other, and asking Jesus to give us hope in this time of desperation. So to review, number one, what did we see? We see hope in the Bible. It's linked to redemption. Story of redemption. Number two, Jesus represents himself from the, from deity, from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus represents hope for us because he's the one who came to redeem and to save. And he's the one who rose again, who went to heaven, and the one who will come again. Jesus represents hope. Number three, Jesus has hope through human history. So if he represents hope, how can we prove, how can we see throughout history that he's being hope, and that he was hope before, and that he is hope, and that he will be? Okay, so if we go to first, let's take a look at a couple of verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3:16. Paul is talking about the mystery of godliness, and he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among Gentiles, believed in the world, and receive top men glory. And it's not there, but I'm pretty sure Paul should have added in there, and he will come again soon. And I love this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Because it summarizes for me the story of redemption. It tells me how this mystery that we as human cannot understand, because it's beyond our understanding, it started before even we were created, and it will go forever after through our eternity, and we won't be able to 100% understand this mystery of godliness. That Jesus, who was God in heaven, took the form of a human and came down to earth to save us. It's a great mystery. And not only he came and took upon him the flesh of a human body, but a human body who had been, you know, you have been suffering from sin for thousands and thousands of years. He wasn't even the perfect human like Adam was. And the greatest thing is that he will stay like that for all eternity. And it blows my mind. I cannot understand it. How can he decide to come and become a human to save me? But then it becomes even more complicated when he dies, but on the third day, he rises again. Because he won. And so that's the summary. That is in short how this through history, Paul says, this is how Jesus represents, how Jesus proved himself to be the hope for humanity, our only hope. Since the beginning, since before creation, he was the one determined to come and save us, and he did. He became human. He came and died for us, and he rose again and went to heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, in verse 8, those two verses in chapter 1, we're going to see it says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And this is John talking. He's saying, me, this is John, I'm writing right now, and I'm talking to you, and I'm speaking in from, and I'm giving you grace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Verse 8, Revelation, same chapter, chapter 1 says, Jesus in his own words says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And I say amen. Jesus. Hope throughout history. He says it in his word. I am right now. I was before. And I will come. And God will forever be the Almighty. Our only hope. And so if we go back in time and we think about creation, God created Adam and Eve and he put them in a garden, and then sin happened, and then with sin, that God knew that the plan of salvation have to come into play. And so when God is talking to the serpent, Genesis 3:15, God says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between you and your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The promise of that Savior from the very beginning of creation, Jesus as hope. And ever since, through human history, Jesus, our hope. In Exodus, when the people of Israel needed to go out of the land and they were going to be free from slavery, God told them, you have to get a lamb, and you have to sacrifice the lamb, and you have to use the blood and put it on, you know, in the doors on your houses. So when the angel of the death come, you are safe. That lamb who was sacrificed, that blood that was in those houses represented Jesus. Jesus representing hope through history. Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27 says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know my Redeemer lives. He is risen. He is alive. He came to save us. He came to give us hope." That is why Jesus, our only hope. And what Job is saying here, even he lives right now. And even after I pass away, he will still be. Through my humanity, he will still be alive and be my hope and be my Redeemer. David, in Psalm chapter 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." David recognizing that Lord Jesus, that shepherd, who takes care of us every day and every night, our only hope. If we take a look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, if you can go with me to that verse, that passage. 1 John chapter 3. Verses 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, when Jesus is revealed, when Jesus, the one who is to come, comes again, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope," and I'm going to repeat that, "everyone who has this hope, in him purifies himself just as he is pure." The question is, brothers and sisters, do we have this hope? Do we really, in the deep of our heart, do we have this hope? Because when Jesus comes again, this was what John is saying here, when he is revealed, when he comes again, because now we cannot see him, but he still is. He's sending revelation that I am, I was, and I will come. So he will come, and when he will come and he reveals himself, that we can finally see our hope, we need to make sure that we have it, that we are connected to it, that we have accepted his death and resurrection, that we believe with our faith in him, that we love him, and when he reveals himself, Jesus, who is our only hope, will finally take us home. And I say amen. And I want to add another verse that wasn't originally put in this sermon, so I'm going to go into my Bible app. Revelation chapter 24. 1. This is where John is talking about the New Jerusalem, and it's what by far one of my favorite verses in the Bible about heaven, because it gives me hope on what heaven will be like. So Revelation 21 verse 4. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 4 all together. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with men, and they shall be with his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God It will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And this is the joy that I take when I proclaim that Jesus is our only hope. It's been our hope since the eternity. It's a mystery, Paul says in Timothy, and we cannot understand it, but it's always been our hope. And throughout human history after creation, we can verify that he's been our hope. And when he comes back again, he will erase all type of suffering from our lives. And I say amen. Because I know that the love of God, the power of God, is great. And I know that he is able to take away all our suffering. And in the history of redemption, and when he died and rose again, that gives me that hope. Because I know that he rose, and what the Bible keeps saying, that it will happen, it continue to happen, is true. So my hope is only in Jesus. To review, seen three things today. Number one, hope in the Bible, story of redemption. Number two, Jesus is the one who represents hope for us. And Jesus, it's represented hope throughout history. You can see how that's throughout the Bible. You can read and find how Jesus is the one who represents hope. And there's this song that is Jesus through each book of the Bible that I'm not going to sing today, but I'm going to read the lyrics to finish this sermon today. It says, in Genesis, he is the breath of life. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is fire by night. Deuteronomy, he is Moses' voice. In Joshua, he is salvation's choice. In Judges, he is the lawgiver. In Ruth, he is the kinsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is sovereign. In Ezra, he is the true faithful scribe. Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of broken walls and lives. In Esther, he is Mordecai's courage. In Job, he is the timeless redeemer. In the Psalms, he is our morning song. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom cry. In Ecclesiastes, he is the time and season. In the Song of Solomon, he is the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he is the prince of peace. Jeremiah, he is the weeping prophet. Lamentations, he is the cry for Israel. Ezekiel sees the call from sin. In Daniel, he is the stranger in the fire. Hosea, he is forever faithful. In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, the arms that carry us. Obadiah, he is the Lord our Savior. In Jonah, he is the great missionary. In Micah, he is the promise of peace. In Nahum, he is our strength and our shield. Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he is the pleading for revival. Haggai, he restores the lost heritage. Zechariah, our fountain. Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is God. He is man. He is Messiah. In the book of Acts, he is fire from heaven. In Romans, he is the grace of God. In Corinthians, he is the power of love. In Galatians, he is freedom from the curse of sin. Ephesians, he is our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he is the servant's heart. Colossians, he is the Godhead Trinity. Thessalonians, he is our coming king. Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, he is our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he is everlasting cup. In James, he is the one who heals the sick. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is our shepherd. In John and Jude, he is the lover coming for his bride. In Revelation, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Son of Man. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Great I Am. He is the Alpha and Omega, our God and our Savior. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I will add to that, our only hope. May God bless you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for Easter and the fact that we celebrate your resurrection. And we thank you for the love that you have for each and every one of us. We thank you for because in the midst of all these chaos and problems in the world, we know that Jesus is our only hope, the one who can save us. Thank you for your love. Please keep us safe, keep us healthy. And even if we get sick, remind us that you are with us and that you are there to strengthen us. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. Silence, the roaring lion declared.